Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at Harrisonburg and our Elkton campus at 9 or 10:30 a.m. or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45 a.m. Explore to celebrate recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
As we dive into God's Word on this side of the curtain, we're going to dive into the story of a hero. In this story today, our hero hides enemy spies. It's already edgy, right? Hides enemy spies, tricks a royal official search party, and this hero saves their entire family from what was certain death. And I know already this sounds more like the plot to an action movie or a heroic novel, but this is a Bible story. This is a story of God's people. And it's true. This hero's actions are so dramatic, so heroic, that they are remembered hundreds and hundreds of years later by two different New Testament authors. Now, I know what you're thinking. The series title is named Joshua. That's the book we're in. That's the hero, right? Like it would just make sense. But Joshua's not the hero in today's story. You see, our hero is an unlikely one. Because it would seem like we're ready for Joshua. You know, he's been boldened and encouraged by the Lord. Now it's the story of him conquering, right? That'll come. But this story is the story of an unlikely hero. It's the story of a Canaanite prostitute, a woman who is foreign to the people of God, who lives on the outskirts of society. That's our hero today. It's quite an unlikely person, considering we're in the story of God's people, right? But that's her story. What's even more perhaps unlikely than her heroic actions was the faith that she had to do them. Listen to her own words, her own profession of faith, if you will. She says, "For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below." Now, this is a dramatic articulation of faith for someone who had never heard the story before, who wasn't a part of God's people. As we continue in our teaching series, we're going to see that God's faithfulness is not only for Joshua and the children of Israel, but it's for anyone and everyone who places their faith in Him, even the most unlikely of people. People just like you and I. That's the story of Rahab and Joshua, and that's our story today, friends. Today we're going to continue in part two of our teaching series in the book of Joshua. Now, this book, this work, contains many amazing stories of God's faithfulness in the lives of His people. And within this story, we see the people of God, they encounter again and again real challenges to living out their faith, real challenges to seeing what God had promised come true. They faced real battles and real seeming impossibilities, but yet God was faithful and is faithful in the lives of His people. This would not be an easy journey, but God had promised them His presence, and He would see them through. That's really the overarching narrative of Joshua, and though it's named after Joshua, really the true hero, the undergirding guy in it all, is the presence of God. Because it's Him, it's the Lord that moves on behalf of His people. And friends, those stories are what link this topic and this text to our lives today. As we, the children of God, as we, the people of God, try to live out our faith in our day-to-day, we encounter difficult circumstances. We encounter seemingly impossible things. And we need the faithfulness of God. It's our story. It's the story of Joshua. Today we're going to dive into what are really the first steps. The first steps of the children of Israel into that promised land. And that's where we're going to encounter an unlikely hero in our story. So let's dive in. Joshua chapter 2, we're going to begin at verse 1. The text is on the screen and a YouVersion app event is created if you follow along there. Before we dive in the Word, let's invite the Lord here and to speak through His Word today as we unpack it. Would you bow with me? Lord Jesus, we give You thanks for Your Word today. Lord, stories of Your faithfulness, of generations of Your people, God, and how You moved. And so, Lord, we want to read afresh and anew this story today of an unlikely hero. Would You speak to us, Lord? Open our hearts, our minds, our ears to hear afresh and anew what You have to say to us today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Joshua 2, beginning at verse 1, says, "Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. He said, 'Go look over the land,' he said, 'especially Jericho.' So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, 'Look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land.' So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab: 'Bring out those men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land.'" You see, these verses are really following the command that God gave Joshua that we looked into last week, where He has told them to go and enter the promised land. And so these are the first steps as Joshua is sending out people to look over the city of Jericho. It was about 15 miles away in the story from where they're camped at. And at first glance, we notice that the spy's choice of lodging is a little questionable, right? The house of a prostitute. But before we jump to our own conclusions, let's just pause and hear the text for what it says. It's important to note that the way this passage is constructed, the way it's written, there is no indication of any promiscuous activity on anyone's part here. So as quickly as we might jump to that conclusion, it's not in the original text. And so let's just slow down and listen to what's going on. You see, Rahab's house was likely a way station, a rest stop of sorts, perhaps an inn or a tavern or some combination of all those. And if you think about the people that would traverse that location, it's probably not a bad strategic landing spot if you're trying to spy out the land. A bit of irony appears early in this story, doesn't it? In that the spies, you would think, you know, secret agents, they're found out immediately. Like, they stunk at their assignment, right? Immediately, the news makes it all the way to the king, and he dispatches men to capture them, like, right off the bat. It would seem like this first step into the promised land was a step on the wrong foot. But let's continue. God's faithfulness is in the details. Verse 4 says, "But the woman who had taken the two men and hidden them, she said, 'Yes.'" She's answering the people that have come from the king. They're standing at her door. She answers them and says, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them." Verse 6, it jumps us back in the story. It says, "But she had taken them up on the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof." Back to the present, it says. "So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut." Our unlikely hero emerges. Our unlikely hero emerges in the story. As the king's posse arrives to detain the two spies, Rahab steps in. She is remarkably quick on her feet. She knows how to deal with people who have come to her door. Having already hidden the spies on the roof of her house, she thinks quickly and she basically says, "Yeah, like those guys, they came here, but I didn't know where they came from. I really didn't care. And besides, they've already left. You need to like see if you can catch up with them as they were headed out the gate." You see, this unlikely hero steps in and redirects the king's search party to pursue these people out the gate. You see, it was her quick wit and her thinking and her very convincing words. These men, they go on pursuit. They were tricked. They take off for the city gate thinking they're in hot pursuit of the Jewish spies. Meanwhile, they're hidden up on the roof. You see, the original audience reading this account would have been in stitches laughing at the comedy of errors represented by the king and his men here. But for all of the irony that shows up in this story, we can't miss the danger for Rahab. You see, she lied to the king's officials, and if she had been found out, she would have been killed without question. It would have just been over. If these guys would have just done their job and checked the house, Rahab would have been history. She literally took her life into her own hands for these two men. But why? Right? Think about that. Why? Why would a Canaanite, a foreign prostitute, risk her life for two Israelite spies that showed up on her doorstep? I mean, people showed up on her life all the time. Why did she risk everything for these two? I mean, what would you have done? The knock comes at your door and it's the enemy spies seeking refuge. Would you risk your life, your family, your home? That's what Rahab did. Just doesn't seem to make sense, right? But you see, it turns out that this unlikely hero has an even more unlikely faith. Let's continue in the narrative at verse 8. It says, before the spies lay down for the night, so the king's guys have gone, they're off on the wrong foot, they're out. So before the spies lay down for the night, Rahab went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came up out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. Everyone's courage failed because of you, for the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. It's probably not the conversation you would anticipate at a brothel, right? With the city gates closed, Rahab, she has the upper hand on these two spies. Right? They're kind of at her mercy, if you will. But what comes next is not a bargain for a profit or some other benefit. It's a profession of faith. She's going to get some answers out of these two guys, right? Look at what she says. She says, I know that the Lord has given you this land. She knew that God had given her native land to the people of Israel. She knew that's why they were there at her doorstep. She believed all the reports about what God had done for his people, delivering them out of Egypt through the Red Sea. She believed the reports of the military victories that they had achieved. And some of these reports are stories about 40 years ago. But yet she believes. She says the courage of all the people are gone. They're literally defeated before the battle has even begun. And her final statement of faith in verse 11 is remarkable on the lips of a foreigner. She says, the Lord your God is God in heaven above and earth below. You see, the Canaanites, they worshiped many gods. They had a god for everything. It was just part of what they did. It was who they are. It was just a cultural norm. And so for Rahab to say, your God is God in heaven above and earth below, she is saying no to everything she's known and yes to faith in the God of Israel. This is an incredible moment, an incredible declaration as she turns away from everything she's ever known and believes in the God of Israel. That's an incredible declaration of faith. And it's not only that she believed these truths, she took action. When we ask that question, why, this is the answer. It was her faith. She wasn't just trying to save herself. She wasn't trying to strike a bargain. She was responding to what she believed about the God of Israel. And her faith leaped into action when the knock came at her door. In the book of James, fast forward to the New Testament, hundreds of years later, James is celebrating this very faith right beside the faith of Abraham. He says in chapter 2, verse 25, "In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction?" So many years had passed, and yet this unlikely hero's faith is being celebrated. It's being set as an example for others to follow. You see, her faith was not only heroic, it was historic. Back in our teaching text, in the details of what's happening, Rahab has professed her faith. She's come out about what she believes and what's happening in the hearts of the people, and now she seeks salvation. She seeks salvation. Let's continue at verse 12. "Now then," this is Rahab speaking, she says, "Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father, my mother, my brothers, and my sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death." Our lives for your lives, the man assured her. "If you don't tell what we're doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land." Rahab still has the upper hand in this conversation, right? And she's about to make most of that opportunity. But it's not in the way we would think. You see, she uses a word here, this idea of kindness. In the original language, it's a word called hesed. And it's way more than trying to strike a favor or a deal. You see, hesed, this idea of kindness, it speaks of loyalty. It speaks of mercy and kindness and faithfulness. You see, this word carries a very strong relational tone. And so she wasn't just saying, "Hey, I did you a favor, now you owe me one," though that was certainly true. But what Rahab is pleading here, she's pleading relationally. She's using covenant language, if you will. She says, "I've proven my loyalty to you. I have been faithful to you and your God. I've risked my life for my faith. Now prove to me that you will spare my family." You see, Rahab was pleading for rescue. She was pleading for rescue to be welcomed into the people of God in whom she believed. She's literally throwing herself on God's faithfulness. As we study this text, it's sometimes easy to miss the emotion, the impact of the one telling the story. And I found a clip this week that helps us grapple with the emotion of this story, and I want us to watch and lean into just how heartfelt this may have been for Rahab in these moments. Let's watch.
"Jericho's walls wouldn't keep out Yahweh. And everybody else may have been content to cling to their idols and their gods. But I saw something real in Yahweh. He wasn't just made out of stone or carved out of wood. He was the one true living God that had saved Israel over and over again. And now I wanted him to save me. And it couldn't hurt that I had two of his men up on my roof who owed me one. So I went up there. And they came out as they heard me approaching. And then we just sat there, looking over the city, watching the sun sink deep and red into the horizon. And then I kind of just blurted out everything I'd been thinking. I know the Lord has given you this land. There is a fear in Jericho like I've never seen before. Even the king is on edge. We heard about your God and how he made a path of dry land in the middle of the Red Sea and how he completely destroyed the Amorite kings to the east. Your God is the God. He's God of heaven above and earth below. And they looked pretty surprised that I knew so much about their God. As I spoke, I felt something that I hadn't felt in so long. I felt this hope well inside my chest, and tears flooded my eyes, my heart that had been hardened by so much anger and resentment and loneliness began to soften. For so long, I was just trying to get by, doing whatever I could, never asking for help. And here I was pleading with these two strangers. Please show me and my family kindness because I have shown you kindness. I was desperate. I had to be sure. Swear to me by your God. There was my ridiculous request. These were Israelites, and I was a Canaanite woman and a prostitute. I had to have been the last person that Yahweh wanted to save. So I held my breath and I waited for their answer. Our lives for yours. That's it? Just like that, I was saved, and all I had to do was believe in their God? And then all I remember thinking is, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, that actually had to have been my first prayer. Thank you, Yahweh, for saving me. And then they gave me this red ribbon. They said to tie it to my window the day of the battle, and that it would keep me and my family safe. This ribbon represents the most important gift I ever received. Represents hope. Who would have thought it would come from the God of my enemies?
It's Rahab's story. That's God's faithfulness at work. Rahab would go on to let the spies down out of the window. Before they took off, they instructed Rahab. They said, look, you need to tie this red cord in your window so that we know not to harm you or anyone in this house. You'll be passed over on the day of battle. And the narrative really shifts away from Rahab. It chronicles, it tells the story of the spies. They kind of take the long way home. And when they arrive back to Joshua, they bring him a report of what they've seen and what they've learned. And in verse 24, it says that they're telling Joshua, it says, the Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us. You see, God promised them the land. He had told them to be strong, to be courageous. He assured them of his presence. And now the Israelites are beginning to see just how God is fulfilling that promise. Literally, the first enemy before them is already defeated. They're melting in fear before the battle even starts. And friends, what we see there is that God is faithful. He had been going and moving ahead of his people before they ever took up a sword for battle. God was faithful to his people. Let's take a quick leap. This is going to seem like a big jump. Let's take a quick leap to the New Testament. If you have your copy of Scripture, turn over to Matthew. I want us to see another facet of God's faithfulness from this story. Matthew chapter 1. This in the Gospel of Matthew is the family tree of Jesus, if you will. It's the genealogy of Jesus. It's got a lot of names in it, and sometimes they can kind of get lost, but let's zero in on verse 5. It says, Solomon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Well, that's an interesting name. Whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. Right here in the family tree of Jesus is our unlikely hero today. Rahab. As God was faithful to Joshua and the Israelite people, God was faithful to rescue Rahab and redeem her story. She was the great-great-grandmother of King David, from whose line Jesus would come. Friends, that's redemption. That's rescue. That's God's faithfulness. That's his faithfulness. And as I've studied this passage this week, like, it's just the faithfulness of God that keeps jumping out at me. God was faithful working in the children of Israel's hearts, coming down through the promise all the way back to Abraham. God was moving and making a way. And in this story, we see that he has already defeated the enemy that's before them. But yet what seems would be the complete polar opposite of their story, you have Rahab's story. A foreign woman, never heard the stories of God, never grew up with the teachings of the law, none of those things. But yet when she believed, God was faithful to rescue and redeem her story. And friends, I just think that somewhere between the generational faithfulness we see in the people of God and Abraham and a foreign prostitute, we find ourselves today. And we can find ourselves in the midst of God's faithfulness and our stories. That just encourages me. That no matter where we're at in that story, where we would find ourselves, we find God's faithfulness. Man, that ought to do something for us. As the band comes, I reached out to a few of you this week. I just wanted to know, like, what are some stories in the room of God's faithfulness? You heard Pastor Kevin in his story today. But what are some stories? How would you articulate God's faithfulness? What does that mean? What does that look like? It was the high water mark of my week to read some of those responses. And I want to share just a couple with you. The first one says, God provided when I was wondering where it was going to come from or how I was going to pay that. I learned this from a very early age when I ventured out on my own. When I became a single mom and these I wonder moments would come up, I learned to say, God will provide. And my stress and my anxiety were lowered, and he never failed me. Friends, that's God's faithfulness. To this day, there is very little I stress over because I know God's faithfulness. Friends, that's in the real world, nitty-gritty of life. God is faithful. Another friend testified, said, God's presence is a constant in my life. Without that presence, I think I would be a very anxious person. His faithfulness enables me to deal with the things in life over which I have no control. Man, have you ever been anxious about something you can't control? Whew. But right there, God's faithfulness shows up. Another person said, many times when I could have self-destructed, God slowed me down and guided me back to a better path. Wow. Knowing God's faithfulness brings peace to me in life situations and humbles me with gratitude for my blessings. Man, that's God's faithfulness. When I could have self-destructed, God slowed me down. Man, that's it. That's it. Another person said, sometimes it's hard to sing about God's faithfulness when our situations haven't changed like we wanted them to. I know we've been there. My stories of his faithfulness are typically less about situational change and more about how my heart was sustained through a difficult time. Friends, that's God's faithfulness. Finding rest and knowing that even though I can struggle to have faith, my level of faith doesn't diminish his level of faithfulness. Woo! Did you catch that one? My level of faith doesn't diminish his level of faithfulness. That might be the best news yet. Man. Friends, how has God proven faithful in your life? Finally, God seems to be faithful in both the good and the bad times. He's provided wonderful people I can call friends and family. However, God seems ever more faithful in the bad times by offering the extra lift that you need when He knows you need it most. It's God's faithfulness. Friends, it's true in your life today. God is faithful. I don't know what you came in struggling to carry, the weight of the waiting, the seeming impossibilities. I don't know what your Jordan and your Jericho are, but I know the faithfulness of your God, and He is able. Part of this story is a red ribbon, right? Rahab had to tie that above her window, and there's some pieces of red ribbon today. I brought these. I just wanted a way to walk away from this with a tangible reminder. And I don't know your story today. I don't know where you're leaning in and crying out. You've got to see God's faithfulness. But friends, as we know that is true, I would just invite you to take one of these as a reminder. I tied one on my key ring this morning on the way out the door. But just to see that and be reminded that He will never leave you nor forsake you. That He is faithful and true, and you can trust Him. These are laid out on the high top tables in the back. And as the band plays in just a moment, as we worship, I would invite you to just take a step of faith and grab one. Be reminded today of the good news of God's faithfulness. Even if you're tempted to think that you've gone too far, or you've done too much, maybe your story is too far outside of what God can redeem. Friends, that won't stand up against the story of Rahab. You just got to believe. You got to trust. He is faithful. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks for this amazing story today, the story of Rahab and Joshua, and the story, God, of your faithfulness. And Lord, somewhere in the midst of that today in 2024 in Elkton, Virginia, we can find our story. The difficulties, the impossibilities, all those things, Lord, yes, are true today just as they were then. But oh God, what's so beautiful and so powerful and encouraging today is that your faithfulness is true today. So Lord, I pray for that heart that's in the waiting, that's been worrying, God, that doesn't see the way out. Lord, I pray that you would breathe a wind of encouragement today, a wind of hope into their life. Great is thy faithfulness. Lord, we love you today, and we're choosing to trust in you. No matter what our circumstances, we know that you are faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Man, would you stand? Let's worship together. You can respond as the Lord would lead.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.